Shameless 101.9 CITR. Oh, you're sitting in the beautiful city of Vancouver. Oh, you're listening to Shameless 101.9 CITR. You're listening to Shameless Vancouver.
As a singer grows older, his conception goes a little deeper. Sweet. Because he lives life and he understands what he's trying to say a little more.
Upcoming record, Bravest Man in the Universe, Bobby Womack's latest Daigle Reflection with Lana Del Rey on the assist and the production etiquette of Damon Albarn of Blur fame. Albarn also went and stole his dad's notes as he is a professor who lectures in diagrams that illustrate patterns and behavior. And that became the album art. And that nugget of wisdom comes to you from the Trivial Pursuit champion, Jonathan Brown of Shameless here on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. And this edition will be excellent for two reasons. One, music waste season is upon us, and I will be having a sit-down chat with Carmen Lee behind Music Paste, the Music Waste poster show at Little Mountain, Saturday, June 9th. And two, I'm joined by a great band here in the studio, live for the whole show. They've played shows with the likes of Oh No Yoko, Wizards, Super Cassette, The Gay 90s, Blood Diamonds, and loads more. They are Facts. How's it going, dudes?
Good. Pleasure.
Excellent.
I'm doing great. Better now, even. Better now. How about we have ourselves a little round of introductions? Tell us who you all are.
So, my name is Hugh. I'm Hugh McDonald. I play bass in the band and do some vocals.
I'm Sean Blesher. I play guitar and I do vocals as well.
And I'm Sean Baton. I play the keyboards and sometimes sing too.
Very nice. I'm excited to have you guys play live. Play a couple songs, we'll chat. We'll get deep into what you're all about.
Well, I hope so.
How was Waldorf last night, though, before we go any further?
It was fantastic. Just a really good vibe. Lots of great people came out. We played with Gardens and Villa, who me and Sean actually saw at Coachella's here, which was really cool to see them and then play a show with them. They're really great guys, and their music was awesome.
Cool, cool. And you're playing live at Squamish this year, too?
Yeah. Really looking forward to that. We get to be on the same show as Chromeo and Tragically Hip and a whole bunch of other awesome people. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
We'll talk about all this in great depth in the next hour and a half. But first, I'm going to play one of your tracks. It's called Cold. Is there a story behind this one by any chance?
It's just... Not a special story, really. We were in the middle of songwriting, and it was a cold day. It was a very cold day. That's pretty much it.
I love the alliteration.
We'll be right back.
do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beach Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing, Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
That's my hand. I think we're through. You know we're through. You will be angry. Than me, take the couch, yeah, take the lamp. You took my life. I'll keep my heart. I will be angry. Angrier than you. Cause it's so much better when you're gone. I can't be myself when I'm around you. Easy, forget it. Time to relate. Yeah, take the couch. Yeah, take the lamp. You took my life. I'll keep my heart. Happier than you. Cause it's so much better when you're gone. Cause it's so
scintillating set of music, if ever I heard one. You're on 119 CITR. The show is Shameless. We started it off with the Apollo Ghosts on their latest record, Landmark. The track, So Much Better When You're Gone. And of course, Apollo Ghosts playing Music Waste as they do every year. Friday, June 8th at the Rickshaw Theater. And of course, also in that set, we had Facts, the song you just heard. Purists, coming right off of Cold, which you played at the beginning of the show. Facts, here with me in the studio right now. First of all, I just want to say good job in having everything mesh, Pink Floyd style.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Also, I don't want to alarm you, but I don't know if you heard, but Ween broke up today.
What? Like what?
We talked about that off the air. Surprise, your enthusiasm is both.
I'm trying to look it up on Twitter right now, but I have no signal in here. I'm like really kind of distressed about that. I got to see more.
So, Facts, every band has a great origin story. What is Facts' origin story? How'd you guys come together?
Well, it probably, like the band itself with the members it is and the songs we play now, probably came to be about 2 years ago. But the three of us that are in this room now have probably been playing together for close to 3 or 4 years, I guess.
Close to four, probably, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we played in bands before. We sort of like sort of an indie punk band before this, and we had been in prior bands. And Sean and I met in the studio when he was recording with his other band, and we ended up working together a bit more. And then Hugh knew Sean from high school,
yeah.
And so we picked up Hugh later on in a different band, and so. Just over a gradual amount of time, we just kept progressing, and eventually we changed some members around to make what it is now, which is Facts. And sort of where that started is we dropped our drummer from our old band, and at that point we kind of felt this immense amount of freedom, where we can kind of do whatever we wanted.
It was just the three of us at a time there.
Yeah.
So when we started, you know, on the path of what this ended up as this record. It was kind of three of us starting something brand new.
Yeah, so we didn't have a drummer, so a friend of mine had given me, I had inherited this old, like, antique drum machine, this old 80s drum machine that had these really pulsating, weird sort of beats to it. So I just started bringing this to practice and plugging it and hitting play on it, on all sorts of things. And over a long amount of time, eventually we started flowing into it and using it and actually creating a lot of the songs that you hear on the record. And that's sort of where it came from. And then later on we picked up Mike and Roland, who are, that's our drummer, and Mike plays a bit of guitar and keyboards and does vocals. We picked up those guys and brought them to the band. That's really when things solidified and we chose the band name and we started playing gigs.
It all sounds quite serendipitous. Like you're almost surprised it worked out so well.
We were, honestly. Especially when we brought Mike and Roland on, how fast things start working.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were surprised.
And I think we still are surprised, but it's true when you think back. You know, there was like the one day when five of us were first in the room, and we'd gone from three to five, you know,
in a day, basically.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought it was going to be a little bit hard to actually do anything, but we just played, and it was 10 times better than what we've been doing just with the three of us, so.
Yeah, it really felt like it was sort of meant to be. It's like, oh, yes, this needs to continue.
So where do you draw inspiration from if you don't see this and coming? Where do you...
It's interesting, because as you might hear in this record, it's pretty broad. There's a lot of different influences. There's a lot of genres and that kind of thing. So I think a lot of us have a different taste in music, and because there's five people in the band that all really have a say in what's going on, there's not just one guy writing the music. There's all five of us arguing about it and figuring it out and making songs together, and we all have pretty diverse music tastes and that kind of thing, although we have like some key points.
Yeah, it's sort of a really complicated Venn diagram.
And yeah. So yeah, I mean, and there's definitely some key influences. We're all total Radiohead nuts. Grew up listening to that, and that's been huge for us. We all got really into LCD Sound System over the last couple of years, and we essentially kind of wanted to make a dance record. That's what we were kind of trying to do with the drum machine and all that. And we kind of failed at making a dance record, honestly. But it's a failed dance record album, but I don't think it's really that a bad thing.
Yeah, because at the end, I mean, at the end of it all, I think it's all like the songs are really representative of what of all of our influences that we bring forward. So in that sense, I think, you know, it's a really good little snapshot of where we are right now.
Dare I say you can dance to anything?
Yeah.
Vancouver's taught me that.
You can dance to it, for sure. And we were trying to do that. That was an inspiration for us, and it was a new thing for us, and we wanted to do stuff that was new and interesting and not quite as much the same as what we've been doing for the last whatever years of our life. And, you know, like, rock bands have been rock bands for a long time, so things are changing now, and that's exciting, and we wanted to see if we could be a part of that, you know, and that was a challenge to ourselves. So we just kind of went out in there and tried to make a bunch of music, and it all came together from a lot of different directions, but it turned out really nicely.
Dare I say you're a menagerie of all of Vancouver scenes?
Yeah.
That's probably fairly true, given all the areas that we come from.
Yeah, we always feel like the odd man out on bills, but we still sort of find our place in the scene.
That is now a good time, Benny, to play a track.
Sure.
Should we go live?
Yeah, let's do it.
Bill O'Reilly style?
Let's do it live.
Do it live!
We're doing it live.
Alright, lemon peel.
So this is lemon peel.
Is there a story behind lemon peel, by any chance?
Lemon peel is actually probably our oldest song. It came from our previous band, in a sense. And it was something I wrote a long time ago on an acoustic guitar. It kind of just has to do with the departure of teenage years and adolescence and grabbing onto like a career choice and like a path you feel is where you want to go. All right.
Over and fade away.
nice, Fax. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
I deserve a round of applause.
There's a lot of people in here.
It's a crowded house. I'm excited to hear more. But first, you brought along some tracks that you remixed of other artists.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we should get some of those.
That'd be great.
You're big Humans fans?
Yeah. We are. Yeah.
Who couldn't be, really, though?
Yeah. Exactly.
They're so fun.
They're awesome. They're awesome, and they're just killing it. They're just about to kill it hard.
You should tour those guys.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
All right, then, here's your remix of Wake Up by Humans. We'll be right back.
Cinco Cinco Wednesdays at the Cobalt. $5 cover, $5 draft, and $5 highballs. A weekly showcase of up-and-coming bands, artists, and DJs, where the artists get 100% of their ticket sales. For more information, visit thecobalt.ca.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Just the one that's got love, babe, it's I'm trying to say, is that you left your mark.
Left your mark. Left your mark.
But when your life is away,
life is away. Life is away.
We won't be far apart.
From their record, Like a Living Being, the track is Body Break by Facts. You're on Shameless on 119 CITR. Just got to know about any chance. Is that Body Break named after certain segments from television about working out with Hal Johnson and Joanne McLeod?
Yeah. We draw great inspiration from Hal
and Joanne.
Yeah.
Certain local cable television special. Here on the periodical. Yeah, who doesn't? Everyone remembers that, you know? Everyone remembers that.
Keep fit and have fun, man.
Apparently they weren't allowed to call themselves by the same last name because they weren't.
They got married or something,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah, I read the, they have a Wikipedia.
No, really? I can have to look at this.
Is there a pre-mustache, post-mustache subheading for Hal Johnson?
I don't know if there's any pre-mustache pictures of it.
He was born with a mustache.
Also in this set, we had some real boys who were playing the Anza. Saturday, June 9th, as part of Music Waste. I do want to point out that our lovely Discorder magazine is a full program guide of all things Music Waste, sandwiched between some good facts tracks. But another great festival that's coming up is live at Squamish, up in Squamish. You guys are playing there. How did this come about? How did you get this gig?
Our manager hooked us up. Pretty much. We just asked us one day, and she applied. We applied to play it, and we got in. I don't really know other than that.
Yeah, I just sort of woke up one day and was like, "Hey, do you want to play Squamish?" And obviously, the answer was absolutely. Yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere. It was really exciting, and like I almost didn't believe it for a couple days. I was like, "Someone's pulling a joke on me."
Is this the first festival of this size that you've played?
Oh, definitely. It's the first thing that big that we've ever played.
Do you think it'll be weird to come back to Vancouver and play a small club after the high success of playing Squamish?
I think it'll be pretty comfortable coming back and doing that.
we're gonna go right on the road pretty much after that, too. So we're not going to be really doing our comfort zone for a little while.
That's true.
Yeah, Squamish is kind of like our send-off for our tour.
So it'll be good. We'll probably get a good blast from that, and then off we go. And when we come back, that's when we'll be a whole different different people.
After it's all said and done, you'd probably like to have the comfort of the Railway Club or wherever, I'm assuming.
After it's all said and done, I think so. I mean,
maybe not the Railway. Something with a bit of a bigger stage, honestly. We're really cramped on a stage that small. For us, comfortable is like the Biltmore or 560.
Yeah, that's true. It's tough to find, you know, the bigger the stage, the more comfortable you can be. And a lot of bands, especially nowadays, you've got, you know, bands with like two or three keyboards at least, right?
Yeah, keyboards are really big and heavy, and they take up a lot of space, and like finding real estate on a stage is always a little bit of a challenge that we head into. It's always like, where are you going to set up? Which corner of the stage are you going to tuck yourself into?
So we're used to that. We'll be playing more of that. But not at Squamish.
Of course not. Now, getting noticed is tough for any band. You've had some pretty good success pretty recently as being Facts. Do you have any advice for any young up-and-coming bands who would love to get noticed?
Definitely, yeah. If there's one thing I'd say is just keep writing material, keep producing work, keep working on things. Like, the more work you put into it, the more you'll get. And I'd say just you know, release a lot of material and don't feel discouraged if something doesn't do well. Just keep rolling with the punches. You know, I'm really great how our record turned out. It was hard because we were playing shows, but we didn't have an album or anything, and it kind of was hard to get through because we couldn't really represent ourselves. So I think it's a good idea to continuously, when you're starting out, keep releasing material and keep getting that out there so people can see that you're working and putting stuff out there, and eventually, you know, someone's gonna hook up on something. Yeah,
you can start to attract people, you know. But in the beginning, it's all about the music. Just make music, and the business side of it can come later on. It can develop.
Yeah, don't try and force things. Don't try and force things with music you have if it's just not coming, and don't feel bad that it isn't coming. Just like, it just means you got to go back to the drawing board, and you definitely can get somewhere if you just keep working at it.
Yeah, you have to be really, really incredibly patient. And just let things happen. And I mean, above all else, just continue to write and continue to work on your craft, because ultimately that's what people will reference you by.
Nice. And I'm looking forward to talking a bit more about Like a Living Being coming up after this next track, which I think I'm going to go on a limb and assume it's intentional that the track after Body Break is called... Did I get the pronunciation right?
Definitely.
Yeah, this is the best pronunciation I've heard.
Yeah.
like they should be, like they could be. All these expectations, they confuse me, they astound me. I was drawn by misleading affections, they caught me off my guard. This isn't worth the trouble, it should never take this long. Please say what you, I know myself, and I think I know why you're picking fights. I think you're even the score, I can't make straight. Am I asleep or awake? Turn off the lights, who are we fighting for?
Living being, this is Facts of Picking Fights here on Shameless 101.9 CITR. Just curious, boys, since you are Facts and you made this record, what was the process like in crafting it?
long.
Yeah, we spent probably a year and a half just producing the album itself. I mean that was us apart from writing the songs, right? We wrote the songs for probably about a year and a half as well, but we did a pre-production where we recorded sort of drafts of maybe 12 songs, and then after that we basically said, okay, here's the ones we're going to record, and we know exactly what we're going to do, and let's go do it. And we did it. Spent a couple weeks in the studio doing that, and then mixing.
Yeah, we kind of had a good understanding of, you know, what it takes, what the professional process is in making a record, and we kind of tried to emulate that, and, you know, it was a good learning process on how that's done, and how possible that is when you're on a budget like our own, and that kind of thing, because we tried to do everything just like how they did it, and realized, wow, they had all the time in the world, and a whole bunch more money to do it, so we often things that would, instead of money, we use time and that kind of thing. So, you know, I read up on how Radiohead spent, like, on their last record, started with 50 ideas for songs and narrowed it down from there to 30 and then to 20. So I originally said, let's write 30 ideas for songs. And then 6 months later, it's like, we can't keep just writing songs. We have to just actually get something done now. So we got up to 20, and then we parsed it down from there. So, you know, we did all this stuff without ever doing it before, and it was, like, a really good learning process at the same time, of a good way of making a record, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, we had all been parts of making previous records before, and so I think we were able to come at this with a bit of a better understanding about, you know, what was involved and how we could kind of streamline the process a little bit and you know, do it on a budget that we could actually afford. But yeah, like you said, the downside to that is that it ended up taking kind of a long time.
Yeah.
You have some pretty credible producers at the helm, too.
Very credible.
That helps.
Tom Dobransky and Sean Cole combined did Said the Whale, We Are the City. Ben Sinister, Pac A, you can name a few. Were you equal parts excited or intimidated, or were you more one or the other?
Well, for starters, we started it with Tom, and we thought we were going to do the whole thing with Tom.
Sean knew Tom from before, too.
Yeah, I knew him
as well.
Yeah, I'd been friends with Tom for years before that, and Tom's, like, he's sort of almost a mentor to me. He really actually inspired me to, like, record records and get into doing the band thing. So that's sort of, like, that was, like, a no-brainer to go to him, because I knew what it was like to work in the studio with him and that kind of thing, and I knew it would be really a really beneficial thing, and he helped us and taught us so much at the same time of helping us record a great record.
Yeah, he has such a musical ear, and he's so calm to be around. It's a really wonderful combination.
Yeah, I think we all made a new friend from that, too.
Sean Cole came on board when Tom's actually building a new studio on Commercial Drive right now. That's going to be really amazing, but in the same time, it's taken a lot of his time to do so. So, in the middle of building, he couldn't mix our record in the time that we wanted to get it done. So we started looking at other places, and that's when I contacted Sean, and Sean was really excited to do the project, and it was going to be the first time him and Tom had actually done something together, which was sort of something they wanted to do. So that was really great for us, and that's when it was like, wow, we're actually getting Sean Cole to be a part of this, and that was really exciting.
Yeah, it was one of those things that kind of, you know, it seems like, oh, what are we going to do? We have to find somebody else. Like, and it was really fortunate in the end. It was really like a lucky thing that we had to go and find somebody else.
Yeah, instead of having one fantastic person work on the album, we got to have two.
So yeah, and he did an amazing job. I mean, Sean, again, worked with Sean Cole as well, like with him on it. Like, you sat with him on it and did parts of it.
Yeah, I helped out with him. I got to meet him in the process, and he's a really fantastic guy as well.
And you have one more song you wanted to play for us live?
I do.
Retro Oceans, it is called?
Yes.
It is.
Single.
This is our first single from the record.
with all my friends. Why can't I let go? Can I run away? They make me feel nostalgic, like wet grass underneath my feet. I remember how you scaled to pass the sad bits. I remember how you looked at me. I remember throwing snow at the buses and cars. I couldn't sleep at all in the tent in your backyard. See you come right out of thin air, always knew you'd piss your nose, knew you'd dye your hair.
Nice one, lads. That deserves a round of applause.
Yeah.
Just want to thank you for coming out in case you don't get time to chat when the show is all said and done. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Good luck at Squamish.
It's been good to be here. Thanks.
But for now, I must move on and talk about the Music Paste show, which is also part of Music Waste, but more time for that after some Field Head here on Shameless on 119 FM CITR.
Among all the gigs and antics of the upcoming Music Waste, there will be Music Paste at the Little Mountain Gallery on Saturday, June 9th. Those guys you just heard, Fieldhead, will be playing there, and there will also be art adorning the walls from local artists, and one such artist, Carmen Lee, who is putting on Music Paste, had the pleasure of sharing a nice lunch with me at Lucy's Diner recently. We talked about all sorts of things relating to Music Paste and, of course, how the food was.
It was delicious. I highly recommend the vanilla milkshake.
So you're putting on a gig at Music Waste coming up called Music Paste. What is Music Paste?
Music Paste is an all-ages gig poster art show and live music event that we're putting on with the cooperation of Music Waste Festival and lindsaysdiet.com and Pink Cloud Creative. It's going to take place on Saturday, June 9th at Little Mountain Gallery at East 26th and Main Street from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. We'll have two bands playing there. They were selected by Music Waste. And it's $5 to get in and free if you have a Music Waste Festival Pass. And those are $15. And I think you can get them at Neptune and Zulu and Red Cat Records.
So before Music Waste got involved, you put this on independently. How do you go about putting together a show like this?
Well, I've had a lot of help. I have a team of people who are assisting with press and helping me put up posters and handbills and stuff. Basically, I just did some research and found artists that I wanted to work with or just wanted to like see what they would come up with. So the whole concept is that I've asked these artists to create two or three gig posters for shows that took place between 1985 and 2005. And these are shows that either they went to and really had a great time at, or shows that they wish that they could have seen. For example, one of the posters, I'm one of the artists that is going to be showing pieces. And one of the posters I did was for a show that REM played in 1986 at the 40 Watt Club in Athens, which was their hometown. I was obviously way too young to have gone to that show, but I wish I could have seen that. It would have been really awesome, I think. So that's just an example. There'll be posters for Blur and Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Arcade Fire, James Brown, David Bowie, The Shins, Jenny Lewis, all kinds of artists that people have included. So it's interesting to see the visuals that they've come up with. I think they've done a great job.
So you weren't affiliated with Music Waste at first. How did you get the Music Waste people on board for Music Paste?
Okay, so when we were scheduling this poster show, originally it was going to be a fundraiser for an emerging record label, but that has since changed. We were looking at dates and we thought, oh, maybe we'll do it May 27th or that week, this weekend that just passed. But then we saw that it was Sasquatch and Bon Iver was playing, and so there was a lot of competition. So we just thought, let's see, maybe sometime in June. And Little Mountain was booked up for the first weekend in June. So then I realized that the second week in June was Music Waste. So that's how, like, we figured out the date. And then I just thought, I was trying to come up with a name for the show. And I did some brainstorming with a friend. And I'm like, well, it's the same weekend as Music Waste. So maybe we could do, like, Music Paste. And so I contacted Mike at Music Waste and asked him if it would be okay if we use that name and if it was, maybe it could become like an annual event that happened the same weekend as the festival. So he was totally into it. And when it came time that I needed to find bands, he was really cooperative and and suggested the two bands that are going to be playing that night. So it all worked out.
Now, poster shows, even art shows in general, aren't nearly as common enough in Vancouver as they should be. Do you have any advice for people, aspiring artists who want to make an art show for themselves, how they can put one on, or if they should?
They definitely should. There are all kinds of venues that you can think, oh, I'll just show at this gallery or that coffee shop or whatever, but there's so many more options to make it into, like, more than just people walking around the room looking at stuff on the wall. Like, it can be, you can combine all kinds of creative things and make it like an event, not just an art show where people don't talk to each other. I think the first experience I had in Vancouver where I saw what the possibilities could be would be the button show, Hot One Inch Action. And everyone would just like talk to each other, and it was not a pretentious experience as some art shows can be. So I just think anyone who wants to show their art just needs to do it. You just find somewhere that's willing to like help you out and ask. Like, you can't get anything without asking for it, right? The one thing that is difficult is finding venues that don't cost a lot of money, because I find that when I was researching where we were going to put this show on, a lot of the places were just completely out of our budget. Like, there was no way that I was going to be able to put on the show and within the budget that we had set out. And it was a bare bones budget, you know. Little Mountain is really supportive of the community and they were affordable, so I'm stoked that we get to work with them in that space. It would be great if there were more spaces like that made available, but like I said, you just have to be creative and see, like, it would be cool to see people just do, like, throw up a show in an alleyway, you know, and make that an event and see if, I don't know, don't you think that would be cool?
What alley, perhaps?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you gotta think outside the box, especially in Vancouver. I would love if people got inspired and just started showing work wherever, you know.
And one great happy ending to the success story is that you got the hottest band in Vancouver lately to play, Hollow Moon. How excited are you to have Hollow Moon playing at Music Pace?
Very excited. And also there'll be a set by Fieldhead before that. I think they go on at 8:15 and Hollow Moon will start around 9. And it's an early show. All ages. Bring your kids if you have them. We just want it to be like a really fun event that doesn't exclude anybody. And the band will be really good. They're like folky and yeah.
This has been one successful interview on our parts, I think. Thanks for the chat.
It's always great chatting with you, J-Bro.
Let's get back to our beverages, how about? The Music Paste poster show is Saturday, June 9th at Little Mountain Gallery. Also playing there are these guys, Hollow Moon. Here they are with Don't Know Why. On 101.9 FM, CITR, this show is Shameless.